gospel. But as that preaching is going on and people are gathering and filling the house so much that even the door is crowded, there are these four men who believe so much in Jesus' preaching, who believe so much in His power, that they come and bring their paralytic friend to Him. They are unable to get to Jesus. He is preaching and the room is so crowded they can't even get to Him. And so they come and somehow, at some point, get up on the roof of the house and remove part of that roof. And it seems like the roof was somehow made of dirt or something they could dig their way through. And they, can you imagine this, children? Jesus is preaching. Imagine I was preaching here tonight. And all of a sudden, the roof started crumbling on top of me. And the plaster and the stuff would start coming down. And before you know it, there's a hole. And through that hole is being let down a paralyzed man on a mat. Wow. That's what happened. Jesus is preaching, He is teaching in the house, and the roof begins to crumble, and the little pieces come down, and before you know it, there's a hole above Him, and this mat is let down with the paralytic man right on top. And I find it so interesting that these four men, although faithful, although believing in Jesus, don't ask Him for anything. They simply come believing Jesus will do what He believes is best. It's not recorded that they ask Him for anything. It's not recorded that the paralytic asked Him for anything. Jesus initiates the conversation. Jesus speaks first. He saw the faith of these men and He speaks, "My son, your sins are forgiven." The paralytic lowered down in front of Him. And Jesus says, "My son, your sins are forgiven." There have been those who have suggested that Jesus' use of describing sins here was because the man was paralyzed for some sin he had done. I think we always have to be careful that we not equate physical difficulty with particular sins we may have committed. Now, there are certain sins that have a physical result to them. And there's no doubt about that. If you choose to drink a pint of whiskey every day for 20 years, don't be surprised when you get sclerosis of the liver. That is a consequence of that sinful decision. If you choose to smoke 3 packs a day for 30 years, don't be surprised when you end up with lung cancer. If you choose to be sexually permissive, don't be surprised when you end up with an STD of some sort. There are certain consequences of sin, but it is not always the case. Just because someone is sick or hurting or in difficulty, we don't first look and say, what sin did they do? There are those who have suggested that because Jesus speaks of this man's sin, He connects that with his paralysis. But rather than Jesus making that connection, He is responding to the man's real need, to his deeper need. Jesus sees beyond the surface. Surely this man needed healing. No doubt about that. But Jesus sees beyond the surface. And He speaks to the man's true need. "My son, your sins are forgiven." And what does it say in verse 5? "And when Jesus saw their faith, He said, 'My son, your sins are forgiven.'" Jesus sees the faith. The faith put in action. These men so believed that Jesus could do what He said He could do. These men so believed in the power and the authority of Jesus that they are willing to cut a hole through the roof. Their faith expresses itself in action. We could say this is a commentary on James 2, verse 26. Faith without works is dead. Faith has to express itself in doing something. What a reminder for us. Faith has to express itself. Faith has legs, if we can put it that way. It does something. They could have simply sat back at home and believed that if Jesus wanted to, he could have simply healed that man from their home. But their faith moves them to action. Their faith moves them to take positive steps to bring this man to the attention of Jesus. Their faith caused them to do something. What about our faith? Does our faith move us to action that we might be drawn closer to Jesus? It's one thing to say, oh, I wish I had a stronger relationship with God. I wish I was closer in my walk with Him. And then we have to ask ourselves, but am I doing anything about that? We all would desire that. But are we doing anything? Are we digging through the ceiling to get to Jesus? If we want a closer relationship with God, are we spending time in His Word? Are we spending time in prayer? Are we devoting ourselves to coming to corporate worship? Their faith moved them to act. And when Jesus saw their faith, He says, "My son, your sins are forgiven." They act upon their belief. And Jesus, seeing that act of faith, gives the deepest need that this man has, the forgiveness of his sins. Jesus' authority to forgive is recognized by those who were faithful, who came to him, but it is challenged as well. Verse 6, "Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" Jesus, when exercising the authority that was his to exercise, runs afoul of the religious leaders of the day. He makes this declaration, "Your sins are forgiven," and the scribes who are sitting there begin to question, "Why is he talking like this? Who does he think he is?" They question in their heart and they begin to want to attack Jesus. "He shouldn't speak like that. He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God himself?" And while their motive was wrong, trying to challenge Jesus, their assessment was right. Who can forgive sins but God alone? If Jesus was simply a man like they thought he was, then they were right. He was blaspheming. He was taking the power of God unto himself. Who can forgive but God alone? You see, the scribes missed who Jesus was. He is not simply a man. He is not simply a new teacher. He is not a preacher preaching in a home. But he is the Son of God, the one who is able to forgive sins, the one who has all authority given to him. Scribes are sitting, questioning in their hearts, "Why does he speak like this? Who can forgive but God alone?" They didn't see clearly who Jesus was. Who Jesus is still the question that each of us must answer today. Is he simply a good teacher? Is he a new preacher who has some interesting and somewhat authoritative things to say? Is he someone who somehow miraculously can seem to heal and to drive out demons? Or is he the Son of God? And all of these things flow from his nature. Who is Jesus? That is the question that confronts each of us. And how we answer that question has eternal consequences. Do we recognize Him as the authoritative, the powerful Son of God, the one who is able to forgive our sins? Because if He is not God, and we refuse to recognize Him as God, we are still lost in our sins. We are still like that paralytic, unable to help ourselves. We are lost with no hope of recovery. Who is Jesus? The leaders questioned. The leaders challenged. Why does He speak this way? Only God can forgive sins. Jesus perceives what's going on in their hearts. I'm always amused at that part of the story. You can almost imagine these men are sitting in the back thinking these things. They haven't verbalized it yet. They're thinking these things. And Jesus knows what they're thinking. It'd be like, I guess, tonight, if you were saying, hey, Reverend Nehemiah, let's move on a little bit. Let's pick up the pace. And I said, what did you say? Jesus knows. He perceives their thoughts and their questions. And he addressed them. Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier? To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. Or to say, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to say be healed? In a certain sense, we might say it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. Because that is an internal reality. No one can really see if that has happened. No one can really tell if the man was forgiven. But if Jesus says, get up and walk, oh, they all know. They can all see. Which is easier, to say something which only takes place inside of us, or to say something that has external, physical manifestations? That Jesus might show His authority for the internal, He demonstrates it with the external. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or rise, take up your bed? But we can't miss is that both are impossible without the power of God. Both are impossible. Both are beyond the power and the authority of a mere man. We as men cannot forgive someone else's sins. We as men cannot say, rise and walk, unless God is at work. In order that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive, He says to the paralytic, I say, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And as is often typical in a Semitic style, the next verse simply reflects those very same words. He rose, He picked up His bed, and He went out. Jesus speaks, and the man responds. Immediately, he is healed. Immediately, he rises, he gets up, and he goes out. Jesus' power to forgive sins, demonstrated by this external authority to prove His internal authority, to show that He really had forgiven the man his sins. And He rose and picked up His bed and went out before them. And they were amazed. They glorified God and said, we never saw anything like this. Jesus again demonstrates His power to forgive with this external manifestation. We talked last time, I believe, about how so often we want to see something before we believe. If we could see a healing, if we could see a paralytic get up, if we could see something, we would believe that Jesus is who He says He is.
Well, God is so good to condescend to us. Too often the weakness of our faith. God gives to us His ordained, visible pictures to remind us of His power. This coming Friday evening, Good Friday, we will gather together around the Word and around the Lord's table. If you want to see something, if you want to be able to have your senses engaged, this Friday, our senses are engaged at the table of the Lord. As once again, we see the bread and the wine, we see the body and the blood of Christ given for us to strengthen us, to give us new life, to prepare us to get up and go out and do our work. If you want to see something, don't look for the miraculous healing, but look for the God-appointed means of grace. God gives us something to see, something to taste, something to touch, a reminder of Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection. We look forward even now to next Sunday gathering together again on Easter Sunday morning to celebrate that Christ was not simply a man, that His authority was not overcome by Satan or by the crowd, but that this same one who has authority to forgive sins had the power given by God to rise from the dead. As a reminder that we all have new life in Him, like the paralytic able to get up and walk and go out. Easter reminds us, Christ got up, went out, and we are linked with Him, united with Him, bound together with Him. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been washed and cleansed and called into service. We never saw anything like this. But we know the power of Jesus. We know the one who was not simply a man, but one who came with the message, repent and believe the gospel. And when we by faith embrace that message, when we by faith repent before God, and we hear the words in Scripture, your sins have been forgiven, we can know for sure God has forgiven you. Jesus Himself testifies. Jesus Himself witnesses in His power over sin, over death, over the devil, over hell itself, that all who are united with Him have been washed, have been cleansed, have been given new life. Jesus has the authority. Embrace the truth that He gives. Embrace the gospel by faith. Repent and believe. And be restored to full health. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we know that our sin often seems so large, so powerful, at times so life-dominating. It seems too big for us to handle for sure, but we sometimes even think too big for you to handle. Could you really forgive us? Could you really change us? We are reminded tonight that your Son, Jesus Christ, has been given the authority to forgive our sins. Lord God, help us to turn away from our sinful self. Help us to turn to Christ, to know new life, to know new hope, to know life from the dead. May we tonight go from here, rise up and leave and go, and say, what an amazing gospel. What a glorious truth. We've never heard anything like this. That Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. May that be the truth that leads us, that guides us into the week to come. Hear our prayer, we pray.
in Jesus' name. Amen.